This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The Kaaba was central to the Quraysh. But here we have Abraha coming to destroy this Kaaba, and the person in charge of its affairs is more concerned about his an'am, about his cattle, his camels, and his sheep. This was a dilemma to Abraha. But how is it that here you have the Kaaba at stake and you are not even debating me about it? You are more concerned about the preservation of your wealth. He said, well, as for the wealth, then that belongs to me. That is of my concern and my worry. But as for the Kaaba, then it has a Lord, and that Lord will protect it. Subhanallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين ونصلي ونسلم على خاتم النبيين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To my brothers and sisters in Islam, تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds. Ameen. MashaAllah, it's so nice to see the youth in their numbers attending. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we continued with the biggest surah of Tawheed, Suratul An'am. The surah that is the biggest explanation of one verse in the Quran. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. The verse in Surat Al-Fatiha. The general guidelines of the surah that I highlighted for you all yesterday were seen again today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the beginning of tonight's recitation, the recitation by Imam Suhaib, went on to highlight to us some of the rules, the legislation, the matters of halal and haram pertaining to Al-An'am. Al-An'am meaning the cattle. And the surah that we completed this evening before Suratul A'raf is named Al-An'am. Because cattle was considered the most prized wealth of the Quraysh. And even when Abraha was coming to destroy the Kaaba, Abdul Muttalib was more concerned for his cattle than he was for the Kaaba. And this was of amazement to Abraha, that here I am coming to destroy that which is the most prized matter to you. The Quraysh were considered elite because they were in charge of the affairs of the Kaaba. The Kaaba brought countless people from countless lands to Mecca. And because of people coming and settling around the Kaaba for periods of time and with their different goods to sell from different lands, this brought great economic growth to Mecca. The Kaaba was central to the Quraysh. But here we have Abraha coming to destroy this Kaaba, and the person in charge of its affairs is more concerned about his an'am, is more concerned about his cattle, his camels, and his sheep, and so on and so forth. And when asked about this, this was a dilemma to Abraha. That how is it that here you have the Kaaba at stake and you are not even debating me about it? You are more concerned about the preservation of your wealth. He said, well, as for the wealth, then that belongs to me. That is of my concern and my worry. But as for the Kaaba, then it has a Lord, and that Lord will protect it. Subhanallah. And we all know the surah, أَلَمْ تَرَى كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. What the Lord of the Kaaba did to the people of the elephant. So Suratul An'am is named after the most prized possession of the Quraysh. And Allah revealed at the beginning of the 8th juz, the latter end of Al-An'am, the rules of halal and haram regarding these cattle. Because the Quraysh transgressed the boundaries. They made haram what was halal. And they made halal what was haram. They would dedicate cattle in sacrifice for their idols. And they had different rules and regulations. What could be consumed and what couldn't be consumed. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. That which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't reveal. Remember yesterday we said, brothers and sisters in Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only revealed Tawheed, but He revealed the system of Tawheed. Tawheed has a system. And this is why we comfortably say that Islam isn't just a way of life, isn't just a religion, but an entire way of life. Because Allah revealed its system as well. And in Surah Al-A'raf, which came after Al-An'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Subhanallah. That just as it is for Allah to create, then it is for Allah to legislate. Subhanallah. That if He's the creator, then He is only worthy of legislating, of telling you what is halal and what is haram. And that is why speaking about Allah's religion without knowledge and making halal haram and haram halal, this is a transgression on the rights of Tawheed, on the rights of the one who is one in his lordship and one in his worship and one in his names and attributes. If He is ultimately the creator, then ultimately He decides what will be and what won't be, what is and what can be and what cannot be. Subhanahu. أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. It is for Him to create. And as it is for Him to create, it is only for Him to legislate. And Allah is correcting all the ills of the legislation of the land. The legislation that comes from the minds of grown men, the minds of people, those with limited foresight. Allah sets those wrongs right. And He reveals legislation from the heavens, a legislation that is based on a knowledge that is from ever and a knowledge that is forever. Subhanallah. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in earnest at the beginning of the eighth juz that we heard tonight. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on just before Al-A'raf to reveal the 10 commandments. When we were growing up in school, we heard about the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments of the testament. The final testament also has its 10 commandments. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals it. And He reveals it again to highlight that not only is Tawheed Tawheed, but it has arrived with a system. And these 10 commandments are from the system of Tawheed. And the Quran is grand in its eloquence, subhanallah. And that is why it is the unchallenged book and the timeless miracle. It was revealed in a language that the Arabs who first received it spoke. And at a time when the Arabic language reached a level of eloquence that was unmatched. And then here comes the Quran, not with poetry, with life, with reality, with the truth. The truth that is physical, and the truth that is physical, and its linguistic arc isn't broken in any capacity. It is something that no human being can match. And also it only speaks the truth. It is not a poet making up some fiction to try and fit the line of poetry with words that can be true to the poetic function that the poetry is trying to achieve. There's no fiction here. Everything is the truth. And Allah reveals the 10 commandments in 3 sets. Each set ending with ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ. First He says ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Then He says, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Then He says, ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Subhanallah. Unmatched eloquence. That here you're getting legislation which is heavy, but it comes to you in a manner that is so sweet to your ears. Your ear wants to hear it. It's like you want to say, give me the next set of commands, oh my Lord, this is so beautiful. I want to learn and I want to hear more. I can sit and listen to this for hours. This is the reality of the revelation of the Lord. It falls from the skies as the pitter-patter of raindrops. The only difference is the Arabs saw the pitter-patter of raindrops onto hard desert soil. But Allah was revealing it onto hard desert hearts. And it was giving light to those hearts as they saw the pitter-patter give life to the desert soil of Arabia around them. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals. I think we've lost Hafiz Dhakir today. Otherwise, is he here? MashaAllah. Bismillah. Come on the microphone, Habibi, if you can. We'll put him on the spot, MashaAllah. وَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ ذَلِكَ. قل تعالوا. أسي قل تعال يا ذاكر. قل تعالوا أتلوا ما حرم ربكم عليكم. Until I tell you to stop, I will guide you إن شاء الله.
قل تعالوا أتلوا ما حرم ربكم عليكم ألا تشركوا به شيئا.
حسبك. Allah says, say, O Muhammad, come, I will recite what your Lord has prohibited to you. He commands you that you do not associate any partners with him. Na'am.
وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا.
And that you be excellent to your parents and you serve them with good and excellent treatment. Na'am.
وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ.
And do not kill your children out of poverty. We will provide for you and them. We sustain you and them. نعم.
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ.
And do not approach immoralities, that which is apparent of them and that which is concealed.
وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ.
And do not kill the soul which Allah has forbidden you to kill except that which is done through legal right.
ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ.
This has He, Allah, instructed you that you may reason and reason well. How many laws did you count? 5. نعم.
وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ حَتَّى يَبَلُغَ أَشُدَّهُ.
And do not approach the orphan's property except in a way that is best until the orphan reaches the age of maturity.
وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطَ لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا.
And give full measure and weight in justice. We do not charge any soul except with justice, with that which is in its capacity. As Allah is just with you, be just with yourself and others. Na'am.
وَإِذَا قُلْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَلَوْ كَانَ ذَا قُرْبَى.
And when you testify, be just and speak the truth, even if it is against a near relative. Na'am.
وَبِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُوا.
And the covenant of Allah, your promise to Allah, when you said لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, fulfill it.
ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ.
This has He instructed you that you may remember. نعم.
وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِهِ.
And moreover, this is my path, which is straight, so follow it. And do not follow other ways, for you will be separated from His way, the way of Allah.
ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends as He ended the last two sets. This has He instructed you, that you may become righteous. So these are the 10 commandments, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes off the surah as He began. He began with Tawheed, and He ended with Tawheed. He began with Tawheed in one of the two genres of instruction of the surah. Remember, we said the first genre was the confirmationary genre, where Allah tells you as it is. And the other genre was that which is normally found during debates, where a person says something and then you have a counter argument. And we said that Allah counter argues the narratives of the Quraysh when He says Qul, and He brings about the truth in a confirmationary way when He speaks about Him, meaning Allah, using the pronoun He when He says Huwa. He began with Tawheed in the confirmationary style, saying He, meaning Allah, is the one. خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور. He created the heavens and the earth, and He made the light and the darkness. At the end, Allah confirms His tawheed with the other genre, with the قل genre. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قل. He says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قل إنني هداني ربي إلى صراط مستقيم. Indeed, my Lord, say to them, O Muhammad, that indeed my Lord has guided me to the straight path. Deenan qiyamam millata Ibrahim Hanifa, a correct religion, the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, inclining towards the truth. Wama kana min al-mushrikeen, and Ibrahim was not from amongst those who associated partners with Allah. He goes on to say, Allah reveals, Qul, say, O Muhammad, inna salati, indeed my prayer, wa nusuki, and my rites of sacrifice, wa mahyaya, and my living, wa mamati, and my dying, lillah, belongs to Allah, belongs to Him. No one has ownership of it besides Him. It is an endowment. No one has any control over it besides Him. My living, my dying, my praying, my sacrifice. Tell them, Muhammad, who is the ultimate owner of it. Everything that comes out of you, Muhammad, is for who? And who owns it? Tell them that it's lillah. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the owner. Rabb al-alameen, the Lord of the worlds. Subhanah, the Lord of the worlds. La sharika lah, no partner has he. وَبِذَٰلِكَ أُمِرْتْ, tell them that this I have been commanded to. وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and I am the first amongst you who is from the submitters and the Muslims. قُلْ, say to them, O Muhammad, أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَبْغِي رَبًّا وَهُوَ رَبُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, is it other than Allah that I should desire as a Lord, while He is the Lord of all things? وَلَا تَكْسِبُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ إِلَّا عَلَيْهَا, and every soul earns not blame except against itself. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى, and no bearer of a burden will bear the burden of another. Subhanallah. And this is a universal principle. And we'll speak about the universal principles just now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, ثُمَّ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ مَرْجِعُكُمْ فَيُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ, then to your Lord is your return, and He will inform you concerning that which you have used to differ. We see, subhanallah, throughout the surah, what I highlighted to you yesterday, that the Quran speaks the truth with a reality, and that is the truth stands by itself. It doesn't matter who differs with it. We don't need to change anything because of the difference of opinion you have regarding the truth. This is the truth, and we will not make excuses for the truth. This is who Muhammad is, and I will not make excuses for him. This is what he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I will not make excuses for him. He married Aisha radiallahu anha when he married her. He married her at the age that he married her, and he lived with her at the age that he lived with her. That is the reality, and that is the truth. I will not make excuses for him. Even if you think it's wrong, it's enough for me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that it's right. This is the way of Islam. It is a manner of izzah and honor. There's no inferiority complex here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Quran, the final testament, the timeless miracle. And He chose for the companions of the messenger people of honor, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Do you not see that they were not a people that were following Him because they were inferior in their complexities? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, and we had this earlier in the Taraweeh in the past few nights, where Allah revealed about them, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, that it was Allah's mercy upon you, O Muhammad, that you were patient and gentle with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, if you were harsh with them in a little way, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, they would have left you. These are not a people who are weak, that they're following you because they need something. They're not from the Quraysh, referred to them as the poor from society, as the weak from society. Allah is revealing these are a people with a very high inferiority complex. Think about this. And this reflection I'm sharing with you is from our Sheikh Ja'far Idris. It's a unique reflection. He said, subhanallah, we learn from this verse that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, they had a very high inferiority complex. Because the only people who stick with you when you harsh with them are those who have a low inferiority complex. Those who leave you when you harsh with them, they are people who stand by themselves. So the fact that they're with you, Muhammad, is testimony to the fact that they have a high inferiority complex, and they follow you and this book because it's the truth and they believe it's the truth. We didn't see in them, O servants of Allah, doing gymnastics with the haqq, doing gymnastics with the truth. We didn't see them doing a play on words. Rather, we see them presenting the deen with honor, with izzah, knowing that they're right because it's a revelation from the Lord of the worlds, the one who created everything that exists, whose knowledge is from ever and His knowledge is forever. I am a result of my Lord. I am the creation of my Lord. Who am I to think? It is not a case of I think, therefore I am. Yes, I think, therefore I am. But I am because I put the revelation of God before what I think. That is the reality of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that is the reality of Surah Al-An'am, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. Before we go into Surah Al-A'raf, we spoke about these universal laws and they pop up in the Taraweeh, and then sometimes I think I need to share it because just for us to, there's so many, wallahi, I share with you just a snippet, a drop in the ocean, but just to understand, subhanAllah, how the Quran is central to all our guidance and all the sciences of Islam that we know. We heard of وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. This is a universal principle. Allah will not hold you accountable for the sins of another people. Yes, because we are interdependent in existence, sometimes the downfall of a people will naturally have a consequence on another people. And that's true. That's true. But in terms of salvation in the hereafter, Allah will not hold you accountable for the sins of another people. This is a universal principle. And once it was said to Aisha radiallahu anha that it was understood from a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that indeed the deceased, they are punished because of the crying of their relatives who are alive. And Aisha radiallahu anha responded by saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was misunderstood. He didn't mean this. Have you not read the verse in the Quran? وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Have you not read the verse in the Quran that no soul shall be punished because of the mishaps and misdemeanors of another? It cannot be possible that those who are alive that transgress the boundaries, they may wail because of the passing away of a relative, and that is haram in Islam. Their misdemeanor has no bearing on the person who passed away. Allah doesn't punish a person for the sins of another person. This is a universal principle. Also, we see at the beginning of tonight's reading, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That if you were to follow the majority of the people on earth, there's a real chance that you can go astray. We live in a day and age where we're told that the view of the majority is the haqq. What the majority wants is what should be. What the majority wish is what should come to be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this to be false. As a universal principle, Allah reveals that it is the reality of the life of this world that the majority can be upon misguidance. And if you follow the trend, and if you follow the majority, يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. It will take you away from the straight path. The straight path that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about in Al-Fatiha every day. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So this is from the universal principles that we heard today. And there's many others, but inshallah, time is moving swiftly, so we will move as well, because we have Surah Al-A'raf in front of us. And Surah Al-A'raf is a mountain. And I say that metaphorically, but also because of the meaning of Al-A'raf. Al-A'raf is translated in many of the masahif as the heights, because Al-A'raf carries the meaning connected to it. But before we get there, very quickly, the introductory matters. Like Al-An'am, it is a Makki surah. It was revealed before Hijrah from Mecca to Medina. But as the scholars of Tafsir say, it is similar to Al-An'am. It wasn't revealed at the beginning of the prophetic mission, but much later, and evidence to this is the same evidence we had in Surah Al-An'am, that the verses are longer. Yes, the themes are the same. The instruction is direct and candid, but the verses are longer. Whilst the verses that were revealed immediately after the Prophet began his message were short. And I gave you the analogy of a sculptor who is sculpting an ice block to try and create a piece. He wants to remove what he doesn't want from the block of ice and keep what he wants from the block of ice. You don't hammer that block of ice with a big hammer, but rather with a chisel and small knocks. So at the beginning, there were these small knocks. But then later on, the discourse increased in length. And we see this in Surah Al-A'raf as well. Surah Al-A'raf is from the seven long surahs of the Quran. In fact, it is the seventh long surah in the Quran, and it consists of 206 verses. And regarding its name A'raf, then as I said, it refers to the heights. Why does it refer to the heights? The scholars of Tafsir say Al-A'raf, Ibn Jarir al-Tabari mentions this, huwa jam'u arf. And some say jam'u urf. And his plural is a'raf. And our norms are called urf and a'raf in the Arabic language because our norms are so known. It's as if they high, they're above the crowd, everybody can see it. That which everyone can see is known. But a'raf, linguistically and technically, refers to just that, something which is high. Something which is high. And that's why I said we have a mountain to climb, because mountains are high. The scholars of tafsir say a'raf refers to a bridge between Jannah and Jahannam. And we know bridges, are they low or are they high? They're high. They take us over a spot that is low. And this bridge is of significance, because the scholars of tafsir say the a'raf, this bridge, will hold people between Jannah and Jahannam. May Allah save us. And these people will be a people whose good deeds and bad deeds balanced. So yes, they had bad deeds, but they had equivalent good deeds that prevented them from going into Jannah. Sorry, into the hellfire. And yes, they had good deeds, but they had equivalent bad deeds that prevented them from going into Jannah. Allah will hold them upon the A'raf, upon this bridge, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides on their plight. O servants of Allah, this is the reality of A'raf. And Surah Al-A'raf has many messages, not just about this reality in the hereafter, but also the Ashab Al-A'raf, the people of this bridge, and the people of the hellfire, and the people of paradise, and the people of the day of Qiyamah, and their function and reality whilst they lived on earth before moving into the hereafter. Their reality on earth prior is also taught to us here. For Surah Al-A'raf consists of 14 stories. 14. 14 stories connected to historical events, the people of the past, prophets that were sent to them, their attitude towards their prophets, revelation that was given to them, their attitude towards revelation, and what Allah decreed to be their end. An end that is real. An end that is testified to in the corpus of books of history. This is all what we find in Surah Al-A'raf. It's one of those surahs that you read thanking Allah that you are a believer when you read it. That you are on the right side of the line between truth and falsehood. And that inshallah, you will be on the right side of history when the A'raf are called upon on the day of Qiyamah. May Allah save us from being from amongst them. Ameen. And that is why, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to appreciate the month of Ramadan. And we need to appreciate the last 10 nights of Ramadan. We need to appreciate the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. We need to appreciate the seasons of worship. It is these seasons that are so fundamental in deciding whether you and I will be on the bridge or will be safely in Jannah. Life, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, is not about minutes and meters. Really, it's about milliseconds and millimeters. That's how life is. That is how life is. You shoot the ball a millimeter to the right and you hit the post. And a millimeter to the left, and it's a goal. A millimeter to the right, and a manager loses his job. And a millimeter to the left, and his contract is extended for 3 years. Such is life. This is life. How will the hereafter be, subhanAllah? When Allah placed us here to make manifest for ourselves whether the end of life, the hereafter, will be a make for us or a break for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rate us to be from the right side. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Surah Al-A'raf has as its composition 14 stories. Some we heard tonight, and many we will listen to tomorrow night, because we still have 3/4 of a juz to cover, which will all be about Surah Al-A'raf. The next juz we will listen to tomorrow night is the 9th juz. 3/4 of it is dedicated to the Surah Al-A'raf, and 1/4 Surah Al-Anfal. Today's juz that we heard, half of it was Surah Al-An'am, and half of it was Surah Al-A'raf. Not only does Surah Al-A'raf have stories, but it also covers, like we said, many of the Meccan themes, for it is a Meccan surah. So we heard and we will hear evidences about the Quran, and the Quran being the word of Allah. Allah will establish this, and He established it at the beginning. Kitabun unzila ilayk. Remember, the Imam, when he started dhakir, hafiz dhakir, he started with the disjointed letters. He started with the disjointed letters. What do we say? When we look into the Quran, there's a pattern. Whenever it starts with the disjointed letters, immediately after, Allah speaks about revelation. And in Surah Al-A'raf, we see this again. Allah establishes the Quran as the Quran. And we spoke about the truth standing by itself, not so, as a key lesson from Surah Al-An'am. At the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf, Allah proves that, فَلَا تَكُنْ فِي نَفْسِكَ حَرَجٍ. There should be no haraj in you. There should be no negativity in you for that which Allah revealed and that which you have to preach to them. Immediately at the top of Surah Al-A'raf, Allah begins with this instruction to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. No haraj. Allah revealed it. Don't feel, subhanallah, how will I say this to the people? How will they react to this? How will I manage this situation? Yes, you can think about it from the perspective of wisdom, but not think about it from the perspective of feeling this inferiority complex. Don't have haraj. It's haqq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. And here we see the interconnectivity and suitability between Surah Al-A'raf and Surah Al-An'am. Allah then teaches us here our beginnings, that every human being is from Adam and they share one father. We heard this again in the recitation of Hafidh Dhakir. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. Allah tells us about Adam alayhi salam and the battle between Adam and Iblis. And Allah teaches us that Allah honored mankind, for He honored Adam alayhi salam. For after creating him, He commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam alayhi salam. And this prostration was a prostration of honor, not a prostration of worship. This should be clear in case anyone brings to us misconceptions. It was a prostration of honor, and it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decreed it. We also see in Surah Al-A'raf highlights regarding the reality of shaitan, and that shaitan is our enemy, not our friend. Shaitan is our enemy, not our friend. He attacked our father and our mother. What do you think he will do with the children of our mother and our father? And Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. That indeed shaitan to you is an enemy, so take him as an enemy. Then Allah teaches us, He reveals the reason why Adam alayhi salam was shifted from the heavens to the earth. This is part and parcel of Surah Al-A'raf, highlighting for us the sin that did it and teaching us the harms of the sins upon us, that don't ever sin and feel that is just a sin. No, coming after the sin is a consequence, except if Allah covers that sin for you and blocks the consequence from reaching you. Every sin is connected to a consequence. And the pious before us used to say that we used to know our sins through seeing the attitude of our wives and our riding animals to us on the day. Subhanallah. That sometimes our riding animal would be stubborn, our camel would be stubborn, our horse would refuse to play with us, to be with us upon our instruction, and we would know, subhanallah, that's for that sin that I did. And we would seek forgiveness from Allah, and the situation would ease. Sometimes our wives would be indifferent to us. We would wake up and it would be quarreling, and we would know that, subhanallah, this is a result of my sin that I did. And we would seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, how many husbands, again, they point fingers, not realizing three fingers pointing back at them. Gen Z will tell you something else, by the way. You tell Gen Z, for every one finger you point, there's three fingers pointing at you. You know what they tell you? Well, you can point like this, with all your fingers pointing out. That's just a side note. So Allah tells us about the consequences of our sin, and it was the sin that brought our father out of heaven onto earth. And if you want to get to that Jannah, back to heaven, you need to ascend the ranks of righteousness, not the ranks of sin. And then Allah also teaches us, subhanallah, the words that He taught Adam alayhi salam, words that Allah told us about but didn't give us the details about, during the first night of Taraweeh in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah says, He taught Adam words, kalimatin fataba alayh, and Adam recited these words and Allah forgave him. Allah at the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf gives us the details, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna, lanakunanna min al-khasirin. That, oh Allah, we have oppressed ourselves, ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا, if you don't forgive us, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, we will be from the losers. Allah forgave our father and He forgave our mother, but the consequence was done, and that consequence was to manage a life on earth after enjoying a life in the heavens. Surah Al-A'raf teaches us the establishment of the Rasul being a Rasul. And remember, I showed you earlier, or I shared with you, that the Meccan themes have set ideas that are taught. Halal and Haram was predominantly after migration. Before migration, the Quran focused on Tawheed, focused on establishing the Messenger as the Messenger, the Quran as the Quran, that there's life after death, and good manners. These are from the Meccan themes. Again, we see this in Surah Al-A'raf, and you can understand this from what I'm sharing with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam. And again, this is something different in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time and time again, He speaks to the children of Adam, to mankind as a whole. Not just to the believers, to mankind as a whole. Because the Quran is not just to Muhammad, it's to Muhammad and mankind at large. It's not just to the Quraysh, but Quraysh and mankind at large. It is the book that is for everyone, for every color, for every nation, for every ethnic group, for every language background. Yes, it was revealed in Arabic, but Arabic is a language by mere virtue of the Quran being revealed in Arabic, and the Quran being a universal book, the Arabic language is a universal Arabic. Wallahi, wa billahi, wa tallahi, if you try, you will speak it. Do you not see how you read the Quran without understanding it? Who made your tongues loose to be able to pronounce these letters of the Arabic language? To be able to recite it with such eloquence without even understanding it? To be able to recited with the tunes of some of the best reciters, even though you don't understand it. Indeed, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He gave the Arabic language. If you try to understand it, Allah will give you that as well. This is the reality of the Arabic language. Allah says, Ya Bani Adam, O son of Adam, O mankind, Imma ya'tiyannakum rusulun minkum yaqussuna alaykum ayati. This is establishing the messenger as the messenger. O children of Adam, if they come to you, messengers from amongst you, people from you, you grew up with them, you ate with them, you played with them, you chatted with them, you traveled with them, you traded with them. People from you came to you. Their lineage was known. Their character was known. Their manners were known. These are not strangers. Allah says, if they come to you, messengers from you, relating to you my verses, establishing the Quran as the Quran, then whoever fears Allah and reforms, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. When? When the angel of death comes to get them. There won't be no fear for them. And they won't grieve. When the angel of death comes to them, he will come to them with angels from Jannah. And his instructions from Allah will be clear, that the death should be swift and precise. It should be painless, and immediately the soul should be given to the angels from Jannah. This is for those who believe and listen to the word of the messenger. Allah reveals this in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah reveals about Qiyamah, a theme from the themes of Mecca. Qiyamah being real, and that we all will be brought there. As Allah says, كَمَا بَدَأَكُمْ تَعُودُونَ, as you were brought out of nothing into something, you will be brought back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, establishing life after death. Then also the historical events and the importance of taking heed from how Allah dealt with sinners and previous arrogance. And what will make you understand, O servant of Allah, the harm of arrogance. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses falsehood and the falsehood of idol worship. And in A'raf, Allah takes us through many angles and avenues connected to all these themes that I've shared. One standout point from the recitation today was how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that sins are also upon a level of gradation. That sins are bad, but some are worse than others. Sins are bad, but some are worse than others. And Allah takes us through the stages. And what was interesting was that subhanallah, if you ponder over Surah Al-A'raf, you actually see that there's a sin greater than idol worship. Subhanallah. There's a sin greater than idol worship. Read for us the verse, ya Hafidh Dhakir. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Just above that. Go above it, inshallah. And that, وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Verses before that.
Oh, you want verses before that?
نعم. تفضل.
قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن.
Similar to what we heard yesterday, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram immorality, that which is apparent and that which is concealed. All immorality is haram. نعم.
والإثم والبغي بغير الحق.
And sinning and baghi, this kind of transgression, بغير الحق, without right. نعم.
وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ.
Okay, so now we're going up the ladder. Allah made haram fawahish. Allah made haram immorality. Allah made haram transgression. Then he goes up the ladder, he says, وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ. Higher than that is idol worship and associating partners with Allah. نعم.
بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
Higher than this is to say about Allah that which Allah did not say, that which Allah did not reveal. You see, if you worship an idol, that is between you and yourself. But if you start calling people to it, now it's a matter that's transcended the boundary of you and yourself. Not only are you misguided, but you are a promoter of misguidance. And that is why even the scholars of the past and the scholars of hadith, they would differentiate between an innovator and a person who calls to the innovation. They would differentiate between the two. And this is from fiqh, understanding of the religion, when you ponder over the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separated between these levels. So this was something, subhanAllah, that stood out from the recitation today. To say about Allah that which He didn't reveal is worse than idol worship. Because not only are you astray, you are working against the work of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam. They came to bring the masses into guidance. You are taking the masses into misguidance. May Allah protect us from ever speaking about Him in falsehood. Remember we said, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ, as the Imam read today. It is only for Allah to create, so it's only for Him to legislate. Na'am. So here are some of the ins and outs. Now, inshallah, we'll end here and we'll take more tomorrow. But before we go off, I try and share with you standout themes. Surah Al-Imran, istiqamah, steadfastness. Surah Al-Nisa, being vulnerable, looking after the rights of the weak and those who are susceptible to being oppressed and punished. We said Surah Al-An'am, tawheed. Right? Surah Al-A'raf, yes, it's full of tawheed, but if you listen to the verses carefully, it comes across as having this theme, which I can't say in one word, but I will say it in a phrase. You know, now act, and don't doubt. This is, subhanAllah, the theme that you get from it. You know, now act, and don't doubt. Do what you have to do and don't doubt. Along your way, you will hear voices. You will hear whispers. You will hear snippets. You will hear screams. Whatever happens, don't doubt. And this is fundamental, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Because if you don't doubt, you can use your brain to do a lot of things. If your brain is busy doubting things that are from the musallamat, things that do not need your thoughts, if you are busy thinking of things that do not need your thoughts, you are too busy to think about things that require your thoughts. And today, and I say this to our shabab, our boys and girls and brothers and sisters, we live at a time, subhanAllah, where people doubt everything, even their own gender. Even their own gender. If this is where the minds are, what opportunity do the believers have to take the reins back? Because whilst other people's minds are busy doubting, that which shouldn't be doubted. You have the brain power, the brain wave, the brain space, the neurons to deal with the real matters, to innovate, to invent, to come up with the biggest technology, the biggest medical enhancements, the biggest matters that will plug the gaps in terms of the needs of the ummah. Islam wants to see this from its ummah. And I'm sharing this with the youth in the different countries and cities that I go to. That you got to think big. If you're becoming a scientist, don't just think of being a scientist as per the norm of the minds around you. Start thinking bigger. Go think about how to take seawater and convert it with little means into water that can be drunk. Do we not see that we have our brothers and sisters who are having their water cut off? Even, and they have a sea next to them, but it's salty water. It's harmful for them to drink. This is where the mind of the ummah should be. Thought of now, because we have brain space to realize this. Whilst other people's brain space is being used to figure out that which has already been figured out. Does this make sense? This is the guidance of Surah Al-A'raf. You know, now act, and don't doubt. It's as if the collective surah is saying to us, O servant of Allah, you heard since the beginning of Ramadan the Meccan verses. And at the end of Ramadan, last year, you heard the shortened Meccan verses. You have heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You attend the khutbas. You've read hadith. The truth is in front of you. The truth is clear as the clarity of the sun on a clear day. All that's left for you is to submit and be stationed. Be stationed. Submit and be stationed. What does station mean? Be immovable. Be unbreakable. Be unshakable. Do not suffer an inferiority complex with the haqq and the truth and the guidance of the Quran and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Al-A'raf spells this out to us. It's telling us that we taught you, the Quran, the verses are saying that we have taught you where you came from and we've taught you where you're going. Now stop time wasting. Stop wasting time by doubting the clear. And use that time to learn from revelation, especially the Madani revelation, that which has the rules of halal and haram. There's much halal that you are not doing that you need to do. And there's much haram that you're doing that you need to leave. You're not helping yourself, O child of Adam. All that's left for you. You already know where you came from. You already know where you're going. All that's left for you is to learn how to get to your destination successfully. Focus on that. This is, if I could paraphrase, if Surah Al-A'raf could speak to us, if it could stand on this microphone at this podium today and speak to us, this is what I feel from the verses that we heard, the surah will teach us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Before we end, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, allow me to leave you on a cliffhanger. Surah Al-A'raf teaches us as well the obstacle. Remember I said A'raf is a mountain we have to climb. And obstacles are mountains in front of us. Let me connect the end to my beginning. This is from the guidance of the Quran. It connects its beginning to the end. Let me try, even though it's in a deficient way. We said that we have a mountain to climb with Surah Al-A'raf. And whenever we have an obstacle, we always say it's a mountain that we need to climb. Yeah? Surah Al-A'raf lists for us the obstacles. The obstacles that block us from living upon our realization that the Quran is the ultimate guide. Surah Al-A'raf spells for us these obstacles. I'm going to leave you on the cliffhanger. Tomorrow when you come, I'm going to share with you 9 obstacles taught to us by Surah Al-A'raf that prevent us from being upon the haqq. And if you be good, then I will share with you 9, because I read the surah in the most part of it to capture this today, because I am leaving tomorrow. Tomorrow will be my last night. Insha'Allah, if Allah makes it easy, not only will I share with you 9 obstacles, but I will share to you 9 antidotes. Not only will I share with you 9 diseases, but 9 prescriptions as well. 9 antibiotics, we have doctors here, huh? Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So I will share with you 9 of the obstacles and sign for you 9 prescriptions, inshallah. But that is tomorrow, bidhnillahi ta'ala. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Everything correct said is from Allah alone. And He is perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Hada wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.